This is Killer Innovations, a show about ideas, creativity, and how you can innovate. Welcome to the Innovator's Garage, where you learn to create your next game-changing killer innovation.
Welcome to Killer Innovations. I'm your host, Phil McKinney. We are back for another episode. This is actually part of a series that I've been covering. A number of episodes back, I introduced the four elements of an innovation framework. And we've been going through one by one each of those four elements. By the time we get done with this, you'll have pretty much everything you need to know in order to establish the innovation framework for your organization. And that's important because frameworks are the foundational piece. It gives you a language to talk about. It gives you a structure for discussions with your own team. Now, I want to remind you, a framework is not the processes. Processes are very unique to every organization. Do you believe in brainstorming, or do you do a digital suggestion box? Do you do some form of customer surveys? How is it you generate your ideas can be very unique to your organization. The framework gives you the foundation. On top of that foundation, then, you build the processes that work for you. Not ones that don't try to just pick up and copy what everybody else does. No, you can go out and look and see what they do. And as I've said over the now 16 years of this show, go out and study a bunch of different people and how they do it and rip off from the best for your organization. Now, if you're going to write a book or do a podcast or a blog, give credit to the person that you've got the idea from. But for your own organization, you need to tailor it. You need to create it specifically for you and for your uniqueness, for your language, for your culture within your organization. So let's get started. Let's start with a little bit of a background reminder of where we started this whole conversation a number of shows ago, and that is the FIRE framework. The FIRE framework is the framework that I've used for 20-some years. Thousands of organizations use it, and it's broken down into four elements. And those four elements are focus. So the focus is defining where it is you're going to serve. Where's that opportunity? Where is that problem area that you are going to put your energy? You can't go in and just have an open playing field and say, oh, let's just sit around and wait for some great ideas to come up. It doesn't happen that way. You need to define your focus. Is your focus on a certain customer segment with a certain demographic, with a certain emphasis? Whatever, how you want to define the focus. But the better you define the focus, history for me has shown that it will greatly increase not only the quantity of ideas, but also the quality of the ideas. And that's important. You're trying to raise the bar because ideas are not hard. It is hard to get really, really good ideas. So F, focus. Define and research this opportunity. Now, I will say, I'll say it in this show. I've said it in previous episodes. Around what we call opportunities or problems. You can determine either one of those. A problem is clearly a defined problem. An opportunity is new. It's something that hasn't been considered before. A problem is you're trying to solve a customer problem. An opportunity is you're creating something new, something that doesn't exist. So it isn't always about problem statements, and I'll constantly use the term problem, but it applies to problem and opportunities. Next up is ideation. Ideation is based on the focus, based on the definition of the problem statement or your opportunity statement. It is the process of creating the ideas to address it, to solve it, to identify those new opportunities that you are going to go after. Now, there's a couple different ways you can do this within the ideation activities. There is individual ideation, there's team ideation. And I actually, in the workshops that I facilitate, I use both. I use both individual and team. When you combine them together and you structure it the right way, you actually will generate 30% more ideas than just doing individual ideation or doing team ideation. So you need to combine them both. And if you want to understand how to do that, go back to the episode where we talk about specifically ideation. We did a deep dive on this about how to do individual ideation, how to do team ideation. And then the other half of the ideation activity framework, you got to group them. You got to organize them. You got to bring those ideas together some way so that you can have kind of this map of all of the ideas that are generated. Because look, you have 8 to 10 people in a session and you're cranking ideas out, however you do it, or you've done electronic suggestion box, or you've done some survey, you have to kind of group overlapping or similar ideas, because otherwise you're trying to look through 200, 300 ideas. Grouping becomes an important part of that process. And then the most recent episode we talked about was around ranking. Having 200, 300 ideas, okay, great. You got a bunch of post-it notes on a flip chart or tacked to your walls, or if you're kind of, you've seen some of the people with glass-walled conference rooms specifically to hold sticky notes with these kinds of team building or ideation activities. However you get your ideas up onto something that the team can step back and take a look at, now you got to rank them. You got to prioritize them. You just can't deal with 200 ideas. And there's, two steps to this process. There's what we call wow or dot voting. That's kind of a gut vote to see where did people's gut say that this is a good idea? Is this not such a great idea? And wow and dot voting is really around, that initial filtering. You got to filter in order to get kind of this, group of ideas that you can deal with. But then coming out of ranking, and you've done the dot voting, and you've come with maybe 5 or 10 that are really your top ones, then you do like criteria ranking. And criteria ranking is you define what defines the criteria for success. How do you look at ideas when you look at things that were highly successful? What was the criteria of that idea that made that a successful innovation? Define that criteria. And again, we showed this in the episode just on ranking. So go back and check that out over at killerinnovations.com. But once you've defined the criteria ranking, you now have a ranked list of ideas, the best ideas down to the least ideas. And what you'll find is now you got the top 2 or 3% of your ideas. There's a gap in the score, and then there's the rest of the ideas. You want to focus on that top 2 to 3% of those ideas. So now that you've got them ranked, today, we're going to focus this episode on execution. How do you turn ideas into innovations? And it's not as easy as it sounds. So what do we mean by execution? It's really to take those best ideas, you run a series of experiments and tests, and you want to ultimately launch the best idea as a new product or service. So you got really two phases of this. You got to test and validate the ideas. And I'll talk more about that coming up, about how to do your testing, how to do the experimenting of your best ideas. And then how do you launch the MVP, minimum viable product? How do you define it and get it down to its core essence so that you can get into the market quickly, that you can translate that idea of yours into an innovation? It doesn't do any good to run a bunch of experiments. You got to get it out there. You got to get people willing to pay for it. That becomes that ultimate validation. Now, why is execution so hard? There's this management view of innovation, what we call 92, 73, 35. What do I mean by this? 92% of CEOs say innovation is critically important to my organization. Absolutely critical. I know it is, right? Thank goodness, I'm surprised it's not higher than 92%. Those same surveys of CEOs, though, said that 73% believe that innovation is important to their share price. So if you're a public company, innovation, very important to your share price. Those same CEOs, 35% say they have a high confidence within their organization to have a sustainable way of translating ideas into innovations. Only 35% of CEOs have confidence in their ability to execute. Easy to come up with ideas, easy to fill up idea notebooks, easy to fill up flip charts. Hard to take that idea and turn it into a real innovation, something that is going to have a meaningful impact on an organization. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That is really the whole purpose, because there's this mystique around execution, right? That it's always, if I've got a really good idea, it just magically wins. Not the case. There are so many things that can negatively impact the successful execution of an idea and turning that into innovation that is far beyond how good the idea is. So don't go anywhere, because we're going to get into that detail when we come back from this quick, short commercial break. Welcome back to this episode of Kill Innovations, where we are talking about how to turn your ideas into innovations. It's the execution of innovation. Innovation, in my definition of innovation, is ideas made real. Ideas are easy. You can fill up all kinds of idea notebooks. You can have post-its all over your office or your desk. But unless you commit the resources, the time, the passion, the energy, that idea is just going to be an idea, and the value is zero. You need to drive that execution. So when it comes to execution, this is one of the quotes that I repeat all the time. And people who take my workshops, or my boot camps, or who I coach and mentor on their innovation projects get tired of me hearing about it. But I'm going to say it again. Ideas without execution are a hobby. And I'm not in the hobby business. I've built my career on taking ideas and making them real, delivering product, delivering services, creating new things. That is the ultimate objective. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to get into this in a lot more detail starting right now. Now, you've ranked your ideas. You've gone through and you've done the ranking exercise. You've had focus. You've done the ideation. You've now ranked. Now we're into execution. You've ranked your ideas, right? Now you got your best ideas. How the heck do you get started? How do you even get, you know, going, you know, from the standpoint of, turning those in and making them a real innovation? So it's kind of like the old joke about how do you eat an elephant? It's you eat an elephant one bite at a time. How do you do that when it comes to innovation, right? An agile, iterative approach works best. You're not going to know all of the answers going into this right from the beginning. So it's a very iterative, very agile. In some cases, it actually can be a very messy process. Very messy from the standpoint of there's no clear path from point A to point B. You're going to find out things. You're going to take maybe a step back, to the very beginning and restart. You've got to get comfortable, but an agile, iterative approach works best. But you need to be adaptable. You need to review your assumptions often, and you need to make course corrections as needed. You're going to learn things. You know, again, you don't know the path from point A to point B. There may be 25 steps in between that you didn't know of when you started. And that's fine. That's what's expected when it comes to execution of an idea. And innovations and problem solving are critical throughout the process. You need to innovate even the idea. You came up with an idea, you start down the path. You run into a problem, you got to step back, maybe you pull a team together, you ideate around solving that particular problem around the idea, you iterate again. So this is a constant process of problem solving and ideating, even as you're trying to take the nugget of an idea and turn it into a real innovation. And then you need to plan that next iteration based on the latest results and in things that you've learned. So as you go through each of the steps, and we're going to talk about that here in a second, what you've learned, apply it to the next step and apply it to the next step. But this is a constant learning process. I guess what I'm trying to emphasize really here is the fact that a lot of people like to have a clear path from where they are now until they get to the end. And they won't start until they can see the path. If you do that, you'll never execute. You got to step out in faith. You got to take that first step knowing that that it's not going to work and that you're going to learn something that might give you a little bit of a hint that you can then apply to that idea to solve it and turn it into an innovation. And look, there are a lot of ways to look at innovation projects. You know, an innovation project is really a series of experiments. Be okay with unexpected outcomes, right? You know, if you follow things like, you know, iPhone development from the iPod before it, there was a lot of mistakes made that allowed for that iteration, even from product to product. You need to measure innovation projects differently. You can't measure them like you do with a normal R&D project or normal product development project. It is different. The metrics are different for an innovation project versus product development. Product development is, I'm going to come up with a new version of a laptop. So I'm going to add these four features, but you know, 90% of the product is known. I understand exactly how the components fit together. I know how to deliver that product. I've delivered it in the past. There's a relatively low risk. Innovation projects, lots of risk. Be prepared. And that, as far as the measurements, is different. Success is the key learning. You learn in the process of that. And that should be one of the measurements for success of an innovation project. And you want to, measurements of success is the advancement through what we call gated validation. I'm going to talk about this gated model. And then the goal is to nurture the assumptions and insights and transform those ideas into real products. Now, the fact is innovation is in conflict with ongoing operations. You know, organizations are really good at doing things that are repeatable, that are predictable. You have to do that in order to generate your revenue, ship your existing products, and then at the same time, you're doing innovation projects, which are difficult, non-routine, uncertainty. You're not quite sure when that product is even going to be ready to come into the market. So organizations have to be able to handle both, and innovation, therefore, becomes part of the conflict. And you see this pop up in the form of the innovation antibodies. Now, I've talked about innovation antibodies many, many times. I've covered it in my book. You know, these are all the things you've heard. Oh, it'll never work. Don't try that, right? Because innovation causes conflict in the organization, and innovation antibodies come out in spades. You know, don't rock the boat. You know, the market's not ready for that. Oh, that's not a new concept. We tried that years ago and it didn't work. Why are we trying that again, right? When you take a look at the antibodies, they break down into four types: ego response, fatigue, no risk, comfort. Ego, stepping on someone's toes who they think they should come up with products. Fatigue, people who've tried it before, they haven't figured out how to be successful. The no risk response, that typically is your CFO, your legal counsel. Their job is to reduce the risk exposure. And then the comfort response. Your business is doing great. Revenue's up and to the right. We don't need to change. Let's not change. Everything's good. Don't rock the boat. If you want to know more about each of these, go check out. I talked about it in the introduction to the framework, but I've also done specific episodes on antibodies. So you're going to want to go back and check those out. Next, we're going to go into what's the first steps you need to do to execute on your ideas. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. Welcome back to Kill Innovations as we continue our conversations around turning ideas into real innovations. As I've said before, and I'll say it again, ideas without execution are a hobby, and I am not in the hobby business. It's about how do you take those ideas and make them real. So, What's the first step that you have to take when it comes to taking an idea and making it real? Well, you have to create the pitch. The pitch is your way to tell the story around your idea. Now, I've experienced a lot of different pitches. A lot of them, people try to do them as just straight PowerPoints, you know, to show it off. I like more creative pitches. I refer to a pitch as a strategic storytelling opportunity. The key when you are making a pitch, when you're trying to secure support from your boss, you're trying to secure support from other executives, when you're trying to raise money from venture capital, when you're going to friends and family to get them to throw some money into it, is you have to tell the story of your idea in such a way that they can see what life will be like when your idea is made real, when your idea is delivering. What does that look like in such a way that they can see themselves or someone in their family benefiting from your idea? That is strategic storytelling. And I did a whole episode many years ago around strategic storytelling, so you want to go check that out. But there's a lot of different ways. I've had people come in and pitch with skits. I've had videos, very high gloss, high production value videos with CGI in it to make it look like the idea has actually been executed and that you're actually seeing a day in the life of people. I've had it done in storyboards, lots of different ways. But you got to get the pitch done. You've got to convince a boss to let you have the time to go do it. You need to convince somebody to fund it, to give you some money or to give you some people to help you. You need to go to a venture capitalist, raise some capital. You got to go to friends and family. Whatever you're going to do to get the resources, it always involves a pitch. Step one is you've got to prepare your pitch. And look, there's lots of different ways to do pitches. There's actually some good materials out there on how to create pitches. But my advice is strategic storytelling. Tell it as in a story. Tell it as a short story so that the reader sees themselves using your idea. And then you got to do the funnel. Now you got to create the funnel. And the way I look at funnels is funnels are made up of four gates. Those four gates are market validation, customer validation, a limited launch, and a global launch. Now, these are the actual four gates I've used in my career for many, many, many years. It stays at a high level. The key here also is to convey that at each of those gates, not all the ideas go forward. You know, so you may start off with 20 ideas in the market validation. You may start off with 10 in customer, 5 in limited launch, and 2 go global. The numbers, those particular numbers are the actual numbers that we operated with when I was CTO at HP and we started the Innovation Program Office. And the IPO oversaw resourcing across all of HP to fund true innovations, not product development, true innovations. So a market validation is what? Well, does the problem really exist? You think it's a problem, but does the problem really exist? How do you go out there and really educate yourself and talk to people that would be the target beneficiaries of your idea? Does the problem exist? Customer validation is now you're going out and saying, okay, you said you had this problem. Here's my idea. Would that solve that problem? Would this idea be something that you would use and that would solve your problem? It would either make, you know, pain, discomfort go away. It would give you more time, allow you to make more money. It would allow you to be happier. Whatever the benefit of your idea is, that's where you test it in customer validation. Limited launches, you launch it in a limited space, in a single market, maybe limited demographics, whatever. You know, the joke we always said at HP was, we'll just launch it in the United States. That would be a limited launch for HP. And then you have the global launch. Fire up the factory, ship this thing everywhere, hit pedal to the metal, we're gonna scale this thing. Well, there's a lot of different ways to walk through these. And I'm going to walk through each one of these phases now in a little bit more detail. So market validation. One way to get the validation of the problem is what I call guerrilla idea validation. The problem is if you go talk to coworkers or your spouse or friends or your boss and you got this idea, they will tend to be nice. They'll say, "Oh yeah, that's kind of interesting. I like that." Da, 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 da. And you're thinking, "Oh my God, I got this grand slam home run." Don't. You need to get true market validation. You need to go talk to people you don't know. So some people say, "Well, I'll just go down to, you know, my Starbucks and all that." Well, no, because people there know you. They're going to be nice to you. So in one case, I actually took a woman who was leading a new effort in the innovation program office, got on an airplane, flew to New York, walked into Times Square, walked into a random Starbucks, walked up to a random individual and said, "Hey, if I buy you a refill on your coffee, can I get 5 minutes of your time?" And then talk them through the problem, right? They don't know you. You're never going to see them again. You say, "Hey, I'm from Silicon Valley, or I'm from Colorado." You're never going to see me again, but please just be brutally honest. Do you think this idea makes sense? And do that a half a dozen times. As I used to always say, just because an idea sounds good in a tech, you know, center hub like Silicon Valley or Austin, Texas or Denver, Colorado or Boston, doesn't mean it plays in Iowa. You need to go talk to people in Iowa to do your market validation. Customer validation. You know, do they truly believe it's valuable? So there's this thing, I wrote about it many times before, called the Michelle test. Well, Michelle is the name of my wife, which you're unique in being able to hear that because, in fact, it's in the book, it's very, very rarely ever mentioned. And anytime I interviewed, if you want to go back to interviews, I never say my wife's name. She does not like to have her name mentioned as part of my shows or my writings or anything like that. But in this case, I do have her permission. It's called the Michelle test. So at HP, when we had a product and we wanted to do validation, we would actually build the product, package it with all the manuals and everything, just like it's going to ship for real. They would give it to me. I'd bring it home. I'd set it on the island in the kitchen. And I'd walk away. I wouldn't describe what it did. I wouldn't describe its benefits. She had to figure that out from the packaging and from the manuals. My wife would take it out of the box. She would set it up. She would use it. And then she would evaluate it. Now, my wife is on the opposite end of the curve on technology. She is a Luddite. She is not into technology at all. She thinks it's more of a hindrance, you know, than anything else. And there were many times when she just didn't see the value of a product. She did not see the value of why someone would spend money for this. And that, albeit that's one data point, and we would do multiples of these Michelle tests with different people. It is important to get hands-on that perspective. Because if you just depend on focus groups or surveys, you can get misled. Limited launch, the buy test. The buy test for me is build a product and put it out there like you're launching it. Advertise it. Promote it. Put it in retail stores. We did a project in India where we actually put a product in the retail stores. People, and we advertised it in local newspapers. People would walk in. They tried to buy it. When they tried to buy it, we would go, "No, no, no, no. That's great. But because you were willing to buy it, we're going to give you the product for free. And as long as we get to interview you and get your feedback on the product." You don't know whether it's real, whether people really value your idea until they transfer money, until they give you the intent, until they hand you the credit card, they hand you the check. That is the only proof point. Everything else is all fluff. You need to have some kind of a buy test. And then global launch. Take it wide, go everywhere with it, launch it, pedal to the metal, because you've gone through these steps. The market validation, the customer validation, the buy testing on the limited launch, you now are ready because you have confidence that your ideas and the execution you've been working will be successful. And so with that, we've got some wrap-up points I want to make. We'll do that when we come back after this break. Welcome back to Codenovations as we go to wrap up this week's show on execution. So over the last, four or five shows, we've been walking through each of the elements, focus, ideation, ranking, and execution. Today is execution. This is not the end of this series. We will be going into more details on some of the elements underneath this so that you get a better picture and given the tools. Now, everything we talked about today, the slides I use in the YouTube video, etc., are all available to you free of charge. Just hop on over to killerinnovations.com, click the menu which says free download up at the top, give us your email address, and we'll email you not only these slides, but the slides for the entire four-part series, along with other slides that we've been, and materials and ebooks, etc. You get it all one time. You don't have to go find it within each of the shows. This is the one place where it's the free downloads. No funny stuff here. You get all the materials so that you have all the tools to apply this to your business. Now, today's show is we've been focusing completely on execution. The whole process, the complexity of taking those ideas and making them real. Now, the one fallacy that a lot of innovators suffer from is they're like, but Phil, my idea is great. It got a great score. People think it's a great idea, but I can't get funding. Is that the idea? Is it the timing? Is it the market not ready for it? Or is it you and your pitch, right? You know, you got to get out of the habit of saying, well, they just don't get it. They don't get it. You know, no. Learn, adjust, repitch, but then also understand all of the elements that have to be right. I mean, look, when Steve Jobs and the teams working on the iPhone, they had the iPhone work done 3 years prior to the launch of the product. 3 years they had it ready. And so they knew, though, that they needed to wait. They needed to wait for one more cycle of Moore's Law, which is processor performance, because they needed a little bit of a beefier, faster processor. They needed another generation of screen, touchscreen technologies to really deliver the experience. They were not willing to compromise. They had the discipline and the patience to wait. That wasn't around the idea. The idea was still great. Patience, in some cases, the timing may not be right, or there's some piece missing. So there's a lot of things that have to wrap around an idea to turn that idea into a successful innovation. And that's where the messiness of execution really comes out. Now, one of the tools that I use when I'm in execution is to keep myself on track and to keep the team focused on it is the Lean Canvas. Now, the Lean Canvas, or really what we refer to as innovation on the page, it's in place of a typical plan, you know, building out a whole business case or product case. This fits onto a single piece of paper. We actually do it on a big poster board when we're doing workshops, etc. It's an overview of the critical areas at a glance so you can see everything in one place, updating it frequently as the project evolves. And you can customize your Lean Canvas to fit your organization. Now, I am not going to be going through the Lean Canvas today here. I will actually do that in a future episode. We will dive in on how to use the Innovation Lean Canvas to lay out your project, get everybody on the same page, and to keep you focused during execution. Because again, it's not just the fact that you got a really good idea, you know, who are the right partners you need to partner with? You know, what are the key metrics? You know, how are you going to fund this? How are you going to resource it with people? You know, there's lots of elements that go into the Lean Canvas. So stay tuned. That will be coming up in a future episode. So you want to make sure you're subscribed so that you get it when it comes out. And we will share the Lean Canvas. We will share you the blank Lean Canvas. You can modify it yourself in that future episode so that you can keep up with what the tools that you can apply to those innovation efforts that you want to drive. So again, this is a tool. I use it. My teams use it. It's a way to have a kind of a plan on a page. Now, albeit we do it on big poster boards, but it's a way to have a plan on a page so everybody can understand what it is we're trying to do, what are the key issues, what are the unknowns. Okay? So with that, we are going to wrap up today's show. Really appreciate you taking the time. If you are interested in experiencing what we've been talking about with FIRE, Focus, Ideation, Ranking, Execution, I would encourage you to check out the Disruptive Ideation Workshop. It's over at disruptiveideation.com. This is a workshop where not only you and your team get to learn more of the tools and the what really takes to use the FIRE framework, but we actually do it around one of your problems, one of your opportunities. So we define an opportunity or problem within your organization, and then we run the Disruptive Ideation Workshop. So at the end, you actually have a ranked list of ideas to move forward into your execution. And the process of that, you get all the tools, you get all the materials. We share everything with you. You get it all in digital form. And then going forward, your team can run those efforts yourself. We have done these workshops now for federal agencies such as the U.S. Marine Corps. We've done it for private businesses such as Brother Mobile Printing. So you want to check those out. For more information on and stay connected, text the word innovation to 44222, or you can send an email to innovation@killerinnovations.com. If you do that, we'll make sure that you're on the list to stay up to date as to what we're up to. Also, all of the free materials, everything that we publish out there, we give it away all for free. You'll get that automatically. So innovation to 44222. That's if you're in North America, or you can email innovation@killerinnovations.com. And with that, again, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to join us here at Killer Innovations. Greatly appreciate it. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.